right. Well, most missionaries that live in a American missionaries that live in a foreign country, there's a question that always gets asked. What in the world are you doing here? Why would you leave there, United States of America, and come here? Right? And it baffles them when you tell them why. I just want to preach the gospel. If it's difficult for an American that grew up here in America to get called and go to a foreign country, imagine how it is for somebody that grew up in the Philippines, came over as an immigrant to the States, and then to get called to go back to the Philippines. Man, it takes you really got to confirm God's call on that one. Amen? Because most people all over the world, to get a chance to immigrate to the United States, that's like winning the biggest lottery you could ever win. But praise the Lord for men that are willing to surrender, no matter what nationality you are, but especially those that will go back and know that things aren't quite the same as they are over there as they are here. And so I appreciate Brother Javier. I appreciate his faithfulness. 2004 graduate of Landmark Baptist College. Amen. And it's good to see God using our graduates. Praise the Lord for you. Come on, brother.
Well, 2004, I graduated here, and I often wondering how it feels like to stand behind this pulpit. I remember sitting down, probably about six pews, and looking at all of those great men that had preached in this pulpit. Tonight I was thinking, what if Dr. Mickey Carter's here? Man, I remember when I was in college, I was afraid of him. Looking at him with that smile. Shoo. And but praise the Lord, I'm here. Really been a blessing. There's so many people that I would like to say thank you for. Driving down here from Bradenton, Florida. And I drove down many, many, many times already when I was in college. I remember coming to college here and then going to school on Monday. And then on Friday, and then after school at 1 o'clock, I would go to work in Winn-Dixie. Used to be there's a cash and carry first. And then after that, I work in Winn-Dixie. And then I work in Publix right there. And then that's when the time I finished my college. I remember working in Winn-Dixie and then coming here on Wednesday night evening service. And then on Friday evening at 12 at midnight, I will be finished working. And then I would drive all the way to Bradenton, get to our house Saturday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I will wake up at 7 o'clock because we have 8 o'clock visitation program in our church in Bradenton at Trinity Baptist Church. And then on Monday morning at 4 o'clock, I will wake up at 4 o'clock and drive all the way back to college and then go straight to my class. But I don't want to tell you what I have done wrong, and please don't ask Dr. Pitts. Pastor, don't ask Dr. Bradley. You might cut my support off. But I think I'm a good student. Me and Dr. Bradley played a lot of golf. You ask me how he play, but don't ask me how I play. And he's one of my professors in college, but I just wanted to say thank you guys. Thank you so much for supporting my ministry. As soon as I graduated, I left, did my deputation, and I would like to show you the fruit of your support and the fruit of your labor as you support me as a missionary in the Philippines. I have a video presentation. It's about 4.5 minutes, and I would like to show you what's going on in the country of the Philippines.
I'd rather when average is untold, I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I have been to the scariest time in my life, but not this scary. We experienced some typhoon, one of the largest or one of the biggest typhoon they experienced in the Philippines, the Typhoon Haiyan. We were on the eye of that storm in 2013. In fact, we just celebrated the God's faithfulness and God's goodness to us 10 years ago as that typhoon wiped everything that we have, including our house, everything that we have. My daughter, Hadassah, she was only, I believe that was 6 months old on that time. trying to carry her away, like carrying her on top of my hands, because the water is so up to here. So we've been running around and trying to get away from that storm, but nothing compare what I'm feeling right now. Like I said, before I start my sermon, I just wanted to give thanks to those people that really helps me a lot. Humanly speaking, if it wasn't for this great man of God, I won't be here. These people that invested their life teaching, and not only teaching in the classroom, but also they become my mentor. Those times that I go to their offices and ask questions about the ministry. I really do want to thank Pastor Mickey Carter, if he's here. Really, he was really one of the big influence in my life. Watching him, the way he carries himself, the way he preaches, and all of those things. Pastor Parson, thank you so much for allowing me to come. I really do appreciate this. Pastor Jim Morgan, thank you, sir. Pastor Jim Morgan was an influence on one of my idols in the ministry. It's okay to have an idol, as long as they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us idolize a basketball player. I idolize missionary because I am a missionary. I remembered my first few months, first 2 months of my deputation. I was in the missions conference. I was single back then, no wife. But all I know is I'm going to go to the Philippines no matter what. I start calling pastors. It's a little bit difficult, but I get into a missions conference. And on that missions conference, we have a main speaker. That man is Pastor Jim Morgan out there at Callahan, Florida. Pastor Dilton Robertson. And as I watch him carry himself being a missionary, and I'm just learning to become a missionary. That was my first 2 months of my deputation. I really don't know what I'm doing. All I know, but there's one thing I know for sure. God wants me to go back to the Philippines to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I see him preaching, carrying himself, that's why I never forget him, because he's one of my idols as far as serving the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. And then after that, I would like to say thank you, Dr. Bradley and Mrs. Bradley. Big influence on my life. Sitting down in your class, going through the whole entire Old Testament as fast as you could. I was just about ready to write the first chapter or the first few verses in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter number 1 to chapter number, to verse number 1 to verse number 5. You're already in chapter number 10. Thank you, Doc. Dr. Fitz. Oh. I like to sit down in your class. I always sit down, Bible college student. I'm a veteran of this thing. When Dr. Fitz teach doctrine, I sit in the front row. Because normally those people that sleep sit in the back row. I sat down in the front row and I sleep. Dr. Fitz, thank you so much. No, I was just joking. I listened to him teaching about doctrine. What can I say? I learned a lot from you, Dr. Fitz, your faithfulness. Thank you so much. Going to your office all the time. Going to Dr. Bradley's office all the time. I'm one of those students that if I see my professor doing nothing, guess what? I will be there talking to them, picking up their brains, learning from them. I'm one of those students. I'm not one of those students that shy away from my professor. I want to learn. I want to know how to do it to become more successful as far as serving the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. I remember Dr. Harvey and Mrs. Harvey. I remember Brother Rich Lemon. I remember sitting down in his class before he passed away. His class always start with one chapter before he start his class of Proverbs. We will read one chapter of Proverbs before he even start his class. And guess what? If you go to my class in the Bible college that I taught or I teach, I start reading Proverbs every chapter before I start teaching. I remember sitting down on that classroom and Brother Rich Lemon will be saying to us, open your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 2, Proverbs chapter number 3 before we start. And each student will read one verses until we finish the whole entire chapter. And I said to myself, one day, if I have my church and if I have my Bible college student, I will do the same thing. Yeah. And if you sat down in my class and even you talk to my students, they will say, Pastor Parrish will always start with the book of Proverbs before he start class. I think about Dr. Gary Herring and Mrs. Herring. The only problem with Dr. Herring is once you sit on his office, it will be dark before you get out. Because he talked too much. But on that moment, I sat down and just learning from him. I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from Mrs. Herring. She's here today. First person who saw me. I thought nobody would recognize me here. Dr. Lewis, Mrs. Lewis, and all of those staff, all of those teachers back in the days in 2001 all the way to 2004. And in this church, thank you guys. Thank you so much. I was speaking to one of the members here. I remember I'm the only one. Most of the Filipino, they are really good at singing. They're good at playing guitars, singing, piano. And for some reason, God did not give me that ability. I remember sitting in chapel one time. And then there's a guy named Balaki. He's one of our students. One of the students there. And then I was sitting right next to him. And then the Filipino singers will sing. And then I am the only Filipino left down out there in the pews on the chapel. And Balaki will said, he will kick my, he will get his shoulder and you, Filipino, you sing. And then I will always tell him, this Filipino, no sing. That's the reason why one of my favorite song is this. When others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. I might not have all those abilities, but I know deep down in my heart that I want to be one of the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until now, I don't have any abilities. But for sure, give me a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. I will share the gospel to that person. I just want to thank you for supporting my ministry in the Philippines. 2004, I went deputation. And then as soon as I got the support that I feel also I needed, I went back to the Philippines. In 2006, I was married to Arlene. She's a Filipina. And then God given us 3 kids. My eldest one is 15 years old, Sophia Isabel de Javier. And the second to the eldest is like 10 years old. She is Gabriela Hadassah de Javier. And the last one, she's 2 years old. Charlize Amelie D. Javier. Now, let me give you an advice if you guys are going to have a kid and you're going to name your kids. Name it short name. I told my wife, Pastor, next time that I will have a baby, their name's going to be you. Because I'm watching my wife and my kids fighting around trying to teach my kids her long name. Gabriela, Hadassah, D. Javier, the whole entire paper is all gone. But I just want to say thank you. If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28, please. Matthew chapter number 28. I would like to speak this evening entitled, Five Reasons Why We Ought to Go Out and Spread the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five reasons why that we ought to go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I created this message roughly about 2 months ago when I was about ready to enter the United States. I was in the border patrol customs. Before you get entered to the United States, there's a border patrol at the airport. You're not allowed to go inside unless they check where did you come from, how many days you're staying, all of those things. And as I was falling in line, and then it was my turn, and then the person in front of me, the officer in front of me asked me, where did you come from? I said I was from the Philippines, and then now I'm going back to the United States. How long did you stay in the Philippines? I said, I stayed there almost a year. What did you do there? I said, I'm a missionary. And then the officer says, are you a Christian? I said, it depends. There's two types of Christian. A Christian that knows how they become a Christian, and a Christian that they just said they're a Christian without even knowing how they become a Christian. So I said, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. And then he said, oh, you're a pastor. I said, yes, sir. And he stamped my passport, and then I was in. And then all of a sudden, when I was outside waiting for my luggage, the same person, his name is Randy, I will never forget him. The same person approached me and said, hey, you're the missionary, right? I said, yes, sir, I'm a pastor. And then he said, and I was like, well, you're the last one that I check in. I said, oh, really? It's like, I'm done. I'm finishing my hour. I was like, oh, okay. And then he asked me this question. Why is it that I will go to the Philippines and become a missionary? And he said, you know, you see, all of those people, if they just have an opportunity to live in the United States, to live an American life, they will just do it in a heartbeat. And here you are, going back there. So I start thinking to myself. And then I shared the gospel. I shared about why. And I start listing the reason why we ought to go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one reason why I believe that each and every one of us, if you're a child of God, we should go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, because God commanded us to do so. God says here, go ye into all the world and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because my God, who died on the cross for me, mandated me to go and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just an ordinary person. He is a living God that who cares for me, that loves me, that is willing to send his only begotten son for me. And who am I not to do so, to say no? I'm not thinking about what's going to happen to me. I'm not thinking about the hardship that I'm going to go through, I'm not thinking about that. Because I really, truly believe, Pastor, that doing the will of God is not a sacrifice. It is a privilege to do so. I am not sacrificing able to live here in the United States. I am just doing and my privilege to be able to go back to my own people and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It is not a sacrifice for me to live in the Philippines. Although I can live in the United States, it is not a sacrifice. I look at it as, Lord, it's my privilege to be able to serve my Savior, Jesus Christ. And this person that mandated me is not just an ordinary person. He is my living God. He is my Savior. He died for me. Soul winning is not an option. It's a must for every believer in Jesus Christ. Pastor, I was with Pastor Collins last Sunday. I preached for his church, and we talk about Landmark. You know what we talk about Landmark? We talk about soul winning marathon. One of the highlight of my life, going out that 3 days of soul winning marathon. I'm never going to forget that. Going out, spreading the whole entire day, knocking doors. I remember I have been chased by a dog. I remember they taught us to shake the fence just in case if there's a dog inside. I remember those tricks. But even those times, it was not a sacrifice. It's a privilege to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. All over New Testament, Jesus Christ commanded us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter number 15, or 16, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke chapter number 24, verse 47, "And that repentance of remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning of Jerusalem." In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Oh, some people think doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ is a sacrifice. Let me tell you this, it is not a sacrifice, it's a privilege to do so. He could have used somebody else, but God uses me. And I'm thinking about that story about in Mark chapter number 5, as this demon possessed. And then in verse number 19, he said here, "Howbeit Jesus suffer him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee." Right. Yeah. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you go home, tell the Lord, or tell those people around you what God has done for you. Yeah. Number two, not only because God mandated us or God commanded us to do so. Number two is very simple, because the reality of some place called hell. I must spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because there's a place called hell. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 50, "And shall cast them in the furnace of fire, that there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." In Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 19, if you look at the story between Lazarus and the rich man. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple of fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." They introduce us for a rich man. In verse number 19, and verse number 20, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid in his gate full of sores." They introduce us to a poor man named Lazarus. In verse number 21, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell among the rich man's table, moreover, the dog came and licked his sore. The situation about this poor man. And in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In verse number 22, they introduce us that it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are, you cannot stop yourself from dying. All of us gonna die. And then in verse number 23, and hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in pain. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in the lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. We should go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully I can encourage you, because there's a place called hell. When I think about even my testimony, as 85% of those people in the Philippines as Catholic, they think being good, being baptized will take them to heaven. They think doing all of those ceremonies, tradition, will take them to heaven. But without my dad sharing the gospel to us, we're never going to realize, or not realize, there's a place called hell. But we are on our way to hell, because we're just serving a tradition rather than the Creator. Number three, why is it we ought to go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, because God mandated us to do so. Number two, because there's a place called hell. Number three, because we know how to escape from hell. All of us here are a product of someone shared the gospel to us. That's the reason why we know heaven will be our home. Let me tell you my testimony. I have a stepdad. He's an American. My mom is Filipina, and my mom married to a Muslim. My dad, my real father, has two wives. He has a wife and three kids, and then my mom and seven kids. And there's a man by the name of Bill Opitz. The only time I call him stepdad is when I'm giving the testimony. That man went to the Philippines, supposed to be marrying someone. And then all of a sudden, they broke up. He feels so that was not the Lord's will. On that very day, my stepdad went ahead and go out and knocking doors in the Philippines. And my stepdad, he's not small. He's a big guy. I remember when I was walking on the aisle receiving graduation, I saw my dad walking down here. And he was knocking doors, come across on my mom's door. My mom opened the door, and my dad shared the gospel to her. And on that very moment, my mom accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and personal Savior. And then that man left, and then my mom went to work. And on that, my mom went to work. She worked at the barber shop. She cut hairs for a living. And then all of a sudden, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that man walked in where my mom's working at. They thought they're never going to see each other again. And then that man sat down on the barber's chair. And then on that time, they have this number who's going to cut that person's hair. And it was my mom's turn to cut the next one. And then my mom stood up there. And then she saw that man. And then that man saw my mom. And then that man asked my mom, did we meet before? My mom said, yes. Better little English, yes. And then that person said, oh, you're the one that I shared the gospel. Yes. Do you want to go out to dinner? Yes. I'll wait for you outside. Yes. And then when my mom came out of her work, for sure enough, that man was waiting for him, for her outside. Because my mom said yes the whole entire time. And then 11 days later, they got married. They split up already with my dad. 11 days later, they got married. My mom was so worried about telling my dad that she has 7 kids, that my mom told my dad or my stepdad only have 2. And then after they got married, and then when they went to honeymoon, this is my dad telling us their love story. Then my dad says, my mom was crying on their honeymoon, and then my mom said, I take a McSilly. You're not gonna like me anymore. Then my dad said, what's wrong? I only have 2 kids. I have 7. And then my dad said, it's okay. Then they came, both of them came to the United States. And then for a long time, when I was still young, they were sending us pictures here in the United States. On the back of the pictures, there's always a memory verses. I remember on that one particular picture, there's a memory verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there's a word there, perish. And my name is perish. I thought it was me, but a wrong spelling. My spelling is P-A. On that Bible verse is P-E. By the way, here in the United States, they call me Parrish, but pronunciation is Parrish. But it's okay. Then I remember that back on the memory verse, I still didn't know why. Because we're Catholics. We don't know about Bibles. We don't know anything about that. Until one day, my mom and my dad came back to the Philippines, and then we meet them at the airport from the tallest to the shortest. And the first thing that my stepfather done, as soon as we get out on the airport, we went out eat, and after he fed us physical food, he fed us with spiritual food. He shared the gospel to us. And the next Sunday, the first time we ever go to church, just like this. Never been in a church like this. We go to a Catholic church every Christmas, that's all. First time we ever go to church, on a Baptist church, we got saved. My dad shared the gospel to us, and that man, since then, I never call him my stepfather. He's my dad. It wasn't for him sharing the gospel to us. That's why I want to go back to the Philippines and share the gospel to the people that I will come across with. It doesn't matter what. Because my dad couldn't just go home. But yet he just knocked doors. And I used to, when I was here, my dad used to call me and said, hey, Parrish, can you pick me up? I said, why, Dad? Where you at? I am here at the other street. My electric wheelchair ran out of battery. I said, what are you doing there? Handed off some tracks. And when my dad could not able to do anything to get out of the house, he was just laying down on the bed. Every night he would call members of our church praying for them. And before he died, I told my dad, Dad, you know, the devil hated you the most. Because of you keep on sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. There's a missionary here that's spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll all have those moments in time that someone shared the gospel to us. You don't have to be genius. Tell them how God changed you. Tell them how God, or what God has done to you, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 5, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Tell them about it. Tell them that the Son had life, and He had not the Son, had God not life. And this thing I have written unto you, believe on the name of the Lord, the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Tell them about Jesus Christ. on the way to Pastor Collins' church. I was in Kentucky. Got a flat tire early in the morning. I approached four people asking if they have a jack. They don't have. One person had a jack. On that very moment, he was the coach, a volleyball coach at Louisville Monroe College. I saw his volleyball ball all over on the back of his trunk. My daughter loves to play volleyball, so we keep on talking. And I start telling them, I'm a missionary, I'm a pastor. And while I'm putting all those tires and I'm sharing the gospel, what the Lord has done to me. I planted the seed to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Do not be scared of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, why do we have to go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's a place called heaven. There's a place called heaven. Heaven will be my home. My dad passed away 3 years ago. But like Pastor Jim said to me, your dad is in the better place. Sure enough, my dad is in the better place. If you look at Revelation 21, verse 3 to 5, you will see what heaven's, the image of heaven. Heaven is where Christ, heaven is where Christians go when you die. Heaven was the mansion that built. And last but not the least, and I'll be done in just 2 minutes. Why do we ought to go out and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's simply because it's glorify my Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, we give God the glory to it. Every time I have a chance and opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, my God is looking at me and said, yes, that is my son. Whom? That is my son. That is my children. Going out and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful to this church, the foundation that they put into my heart. That soul winning always work. Amen. Knocking doors work. I'm never going to stop knocking doors and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this church and this school put it in my heart that soul winning still works. Before in 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004, it still worked until 2003, 2023, 2024, and so on and so forth. Don't let anybody discourage you that soul winning is not working. Soul winning still work. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, this is my privilege and my honor to stand behind this pulpit. And I hope and pray that I encourage some of these Bible college students that they may not have all the talent of the world. They may not have all the abilities. Boy, if they just so clear that God called them, they surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I hope and pray that I encourage each and every one of the congregation that are here, that we make our neighborhoods become a Jerusalem, that we will never be ashamed spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have an opportunity, go ahead and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this church. Certainly, Lord, thank you for the school. I am proud of a graduate of Landmark Baptist College. I am proud of all of my professors. I am proud that I came from this school. Listening to the preaching under Pastor Mickey Carter. There's times that I listen under Dr. Pitts, Dr. Bradley. Dr. Herring, as they preach in chapel, and all of those men of God, and all of those people, that pastors that comes on that chapel. I remember when I was in my third year college, every pastors that preach on that chapel, I always approach them and let them know that my name is Brother Parrish Javier. I'm a third-year student. I only have one more year to go, and then I'm going to be a missionary to the Philippines. I wonder, Pastor, if one day that I graduated from college and I become a missionary, I wonder if I can come to your church. I remember that vividly in my mind, doing that. Every pastors that preach on that chapel, I will approach them when I was in third year and fourth year. And some of the pastors that supported me now, they supported me because they remember this Filipino here that approached them while they preach on chapel, that letting them know that as soon as I'm done with college, I'm going to be a missionary in the Philippines. And if there's any way I can come to their church and give us the burden and give them the burden and my desire to win Filipinos for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Parson. Thank you so much for allowing me to stand on this pulpit and to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and saved me. And Lord, thank you. Not only you saved me, but also you called me to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it has always been my honor and my privilege. There's not a moment in my life that I think it is a sacrifice to serve you. It is always a privilege. All of these things I pray in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand to our feet.